This is podcast number 97 for the Well-Educated Mother's Heart. Hi, I'm Marlene Peterson, and today I'm talking about why the colonists came. As we move into month two in the rotation schedule, we won't really be leaving the explorers behind. We'll revisit Spanish explorers this month and again in month nine when we talk about South America, and we'll spend more time with the French explorers next month. These explorers have been looking around the New World for about 100 years, writing about what they're seeing and experiencing, and now the time is right to start colonizing. We'll spend a few months on this colonial era of our history because it is a huge part of our story. From the time Jamestown was settled in 1607 until our nation was formed under our Constitution in 1787, 180 years went by. Add another 180 years to that, and it brings us to 1967, just before most of you were born. So the colonial era is almost half of our history. To begin our study, I want to give you some daily samplers from the lives of some of the great souls who led and established these colonies. You will notice as we spend time with Spain in a few days that the motives the English had for settling North America were in sharp contrast to the motives the Spanish had in South America. Of course, there is the danger of the single story. There were lots of reasons people came to America. Even the little band of pilgrims that sailed on the Mayflower was a diverse group. But some of the greatest souls you will ever spend time with will be found establishing deep roots in America's soil. Today's daily sampler comes from a book written in 1879, Stories of American History by N.S. Dodge. I want to share the chapter called Why the Colonists Came. Just as a little side note, when I read the part about Roger Williams being a Baptist, that was news to me. I didn't know that. So I looked it up. He established the first Baptist congregation in North America. It was a new faith, having originated in the Dutch Republic just a few years earlier in 1607. That was something new I learned. Maybe a lot of you already knew that. Now here's the chapter. Everyone ought to love God. Those who do love him have a right to worship him in their own way. Quakers in their way, Catholics in theirs, Baptists in theirs. Everybody now in this country and in many other countries is allowed to worship God as he pleases. But a long time ago it was not so. In England, the Puritans could not worship God as they wished to do. Their Sunday services were broken up, and the worshipers were thrown into prison. It was the same with the Catholics. It was the same with the Quakers. No matter how good citizens they were opposed and persecuted and punished. They had not freedom to worship God. In France, it was worse. There, the Huguenots were not only opposed, but they were driven from their country. A great many were killed, and a great many more were shut up in prison. It was then for freedom to worship God that the Puritans came to Massachusetts, and the Huguenots to South Carolina, and the Quakers to Pennsylvania, and the Catholics to Maryland. The Puritans had now freedom to worship God in their new home, but they were not willing that Quakers should have that freedom, and whenever Quakers came among them, they were persecuted and banished. They sent away the Baptists, too, and the New Lights, as they were called, and the Catholics. The Puritans wanted none to live with them who were not Puritans. Nowhere in the whole world was it then understood what religious freedom meant. The Episcopalians in Virginia did not understand it, nor the Huguenots in South Carolina, nor the Quakers in Pennsylvania. They did not all persecute those who worshiped God differently from themselves, but they did not favor them. When Roger Williams, who was a good man, was banished from Massachusetts, he went to Rhode Island. There were no roads, no farms on the way. His only crime was that he was a Baptist. He found his path through the woods with a brave heart. There were people who went with him. The Indians were kind to him. The land was better than in Massachusetts. Other people shortly came to him, and in a little time there was a flourishing colony in Rhode Island. And in that colony everyone, Congregationalists, Presbyterians, Catholics, Episcopalians, and Quakers, might worship God as they pleased. There was no persecution. The Baptists who settled Rhode Island had no more rights than the Quakers and others who came to live there. This was true religious freedom. But Rhode Island was not the first colony which did this great and good thing. 2 years before Roger Williams, with pack on back, trudged through the woods toward Providence, an English nobleman named Lord Baltimore sent 2 ships into the beautiful Chesapeake with more than 200 people on board, all of whom were Catholics. It was the richest body of colonists which had ever come to America. They were nearly all gentlefolk, well-educated, refined, and good. They too had left England because they could not worship God as they desired. It is a milder climate around the Chesapeake Bay, and the settlers did not suffer as the Puritans had in Massachusetts. Besides, it was a better time of the year, and the newcomers had money and furniture and tools and goods to sell to the Indians. Lord Baltimore selected choice land near St. Mary's, for which he paid the natives, and plantations were laid out, woods cut down, fences built, houses erected, and very shortly a charming settlement was growing up. The new colony was called Maryland in honor of the Queen of Charles I, Henrietta Maria, and the new city was called Baltimore from the founder. There was prosperity in Maryland from the first. The country is beautiful. A great sheet of water flows between 2 parts of it, and from both shores the land rolls back in hills and dales, green fields and rich meadows. People who live in Maryland think no other portion of the world is its equal. Lord Baltimore made wise laws. Among them was one which gave entire freedom of conscience to every colonist. No matter what his religion, he might enjoy it undisturbed. Baptist or Methodist, Quaker or New Light, he could worship God as he pleased. Grave old men in other colonies shook their heads doubtfully and said it would never do. Religion would get terribly mixed, and children would grow up not knowing what to believe. But it did do. Religion was not mixed, and no more religious children ever grew up. As soon as it became known that Maryland law gave freedom of conscience, settlers began to come from all over the world, and good, conscientious settlers, too. Episcopalians came from Virginia, and Puritans from New England, and Huguenots from Europe, and Swedes from Delaware, and Dutch from New York. Roger Williams gave freedom of conscience to Rhode Islanders in 1636. Lord Baltimore gave freedom of conscience to the Marylanders in 1634. Maryland was the first community in the whole world in which entire freedom of conscience was ever given to every citizen.